Okay, fine. Let us continue, Be'ezer Hashem. Siman Tov Tzadiches, Siv Gimel. We're learning more about this concept of Shechita on Yom Tov. We have discussed so far that Shechita on Yom Tov is permitted. We have also learned that not only the Shechita itself is permitted, but also Machshirim are permitted, the preparation to the melacha are permitted too. The example given is the bringing of the animal, the carrying of the animal, which we discussed yesterday in Siv Beis. If you're allowed to schlep the animal, you're allowed to schlep the knife, you're allowed to schlep all that. These are all elements of the melacha which is totally permitted. Rabbi Tepper asked yesterday that, I think it was Rabbi Tepper, I forgot exactly where we came from, that surely these are, I don't exactly know how we ended up speaking about it, but it is, as the Mishnah Berurah says, it's a machshirim which we have generally learned that all the machshirim ochel nefesh, which you can do before Yom Tov, you should do them before Yom Tov. Hence, the ashchazah zasakin, the sharpening of the knife, which is something which you can do before Yom Tov, you should do before Yom Tov. We spoke about this sharpening of the knife. Should that before Yom Tov? In fact, you must do it before Yom Tov because something which can be done before Yom Tov. However, when it comes to the carrying of the animal, there's a bit of an exception, which we touched on, that the carrying of the animal is more lenient. And although you may have potentially carried the animal to the shoichet, or vice versa, that we could have carried the knife, the carrying aspect is permitted. And the reason for that, although it could have done before Yom Tov, the reason for that is because carrying is generally more lenient melacha, and we look at it as something which is lenient and permitted on Yom Tov. More on that in a future shiur when we speak about melaches hoitzah on Yom Tov. We continue now a little bit with regards to animals, the catching of animals. Well, not really the catching, but we're discussing now another practical aspect of those animals that you may want to shecht. In the next two seifim, we're going to be addressing the two elements. One is a well-known, what we've discussed already previously, is the point of mukta. As we know, an animal which hasn't been designated for shechita is mukta. So if it's a random animal, you can't just shecht it on Yom Tov, because it's mukta. It's einoy min hamuchon. It's not from prepared items. It's mukti. You cannot carry it. Never mind shechting it. You can't use it. Another aspect which we have not discussed previously is we only touched it very, very briefly. What we haven't discussed is the problem of tchum. And that's really, really relevant, not just with regards to shechit of animals, but the truth is, as we know, it's, for instance, the post which comes from outside of the tchum is a problem. So never mind mukta, there's another halacha. A person may not benefit, enjoy, and have, and use, and in fact move around an object which was delivered from outside of the tchum, from beyond the tchum. Now wherever the tchum may be, so if we take a simple village, London is a bit more complex, but if you take a simple village, you've got a 2,000 amas plus the 70 amas, you've got the tchum, and outside is the boundaries of the city, the tchum. And if anything is delivered on Yom Tov, and on Shabbos for that matter, by a goy, even if it's done by heta, the goy is allowed to carry, the goy is allowed to bring something, he's allowed to deliver something. But if he does bring it on Yom Tov, you may not have benefit because it's been delivered for the Yid on Yom Tov from outside of the Tchum. This will be addressed currently with regards to animals which were outside of the Tchum. Okay, let us see this in Siv Gimel. Siv Gimel in Tov Tzadikches. Behemois animals. Sheyoytzois that get out, veroyois, and they graze. Chutz letchum, outside of the tchum. So you've got animals, perhaps sheep, perhaps cows, and they go around outside of the tchum. Uvois velonois besoich hatchum, but when it comes to the evening, they return and they sleep within the boundaries of the tchum. So I can really picture that. Think of sheep. I think that would be a good example. Sheep, they go throughout the day, they go quite far beyond of the fields, and they go far. But in the evening, they will naturally return, and they will sleep within the tchum of the owner. So now, those animals, harielu mechonois, they are considered prepared. And they are considered for something which was within the awareness and consciousness of the owner. Consequently, they are considered mukhonois. They are no muktzah. They are considered mukhonois, as they often will return in the evenings. Harayonu mukhonois veloikhin mehen. You can take from one of those animals, v'shoich tinoison, you can shecht it and slaughter it, b'yomtev on yomtev. The Mishneh Berurah addresses the question in Seif Katan Yud Gimel, Yud Beis, huvois velonois. They don't have to return to sleep within the boundaries every day. No, it doesn't have to be every day. Hello, only even if they come occasionally, lolon to sleep. Nami also muchanoisein. They're also considered muchan. They're considered prepared. Minastam. They're considered prepared, so you don't have to worry, as they are within the awareness of the owner, and they're considered muchanois, and they're not mukta. But horoyos, the ones who are grazing, velonois, and the ones who are sleeping, outside of the tchum. So these are your animals that go beyond and they sleep out there. They don't necessarily return in evenings at all. No, they don't even come back. Now, in bo b'yomtev, if it happens to be that they happen to show up on yomtev, and you say, oh, wow, look at that. That looks like a really good cow. I really want it. I haven't seen that for a while. This daisy, I just want to have it. And then you just grab and you shecht it. You may not do so. Why not? Because this particular cow has not been, it's mukta. It has not been within your world of awareness. He has not been prepared, he's not been set aside, and therefore is mukta. However, if this is a cow that will generally return in the evenings, even if it's not every evening, but he will occasionally show up in the evenings and sleep in the farm, within your boundaries, in the evening, then it's considered mukhan, it's going to be prepared, you've got sufficient awareness for that particular cow that you can shecht it. So in bo b'yomtev, in shoich tinois in b'yomtev, if it does just show up randomly on yomtev, you may not shecht it. Why? Mipnei shein muktzin, it's an animal that doesn't regularly show up. It's muktzah ve'ein das an she'ir alein, and the owners, the people living in the city, don't have enough conscious awareness of this animal, and therefore it remains muktzah, and you cannot take it. V'hanamela, this is specifically b'vehemos Yisrael, with regards to animals belonging to a yid. Havel shelein yudi, but when it comes to animals which belong to the non-Jew, les b'umish mukta, there's no problem of mukta. Why? Why is it better if this cow that just randomly shows up, why is it better than the cow that belongs to the yid? Why is this not mukta? Why? As we have mentioned previously, the goy, his animals, does not need preparation. It becomes, if it comes to the hands of the yid on Yom Tov, in a permitted way, then this animal is not mukta. It's not mukta, because it was never, the goy never excluded it from his world, and therefore it's not mukta for the goy. Since it's not mukta for the goy, it's also not going to be mukta for the yid, and therefore it's fine. So let's just recap this, because it's really important. We are discussing now animals which have gone out of the tchum. They have all gone out of the tchum, and they. And you want to shecht one of those animals on Yom Tov. We're learning that if they come in the evenings to sleep within the yid's territory, in the yid's farm, then those animals are no mukta, they are fine. Because they come every evening, and consequently the yid has got enough awareness about them that they are not considered mukta, they are fine, they are not set, they are fine, they are no mukta. However, if these animals that will not return in the evenings ever, and they just sleep out in the fields every evening, then those animals will naturally become mukta. You don't have awareness, they're mukta. Now, within that category, there's an exception too. And that's if the animal belongs to the goy. If the animals belong to the goy, and they don't really return in the evenings, but he just suddenly showed up. You've got this massive cow that shows up in your field, within the tchum, on Yom Tov, and he belongs to a goy. And you say, wow, that will be the perfect, perfect steak on Yom Tov. I can't wait to eat this. This is just perfect. So then, in such a scenario, if it's a goy's animal, you're actually allowed to eat it. Why? Because it's not the goy, never made it into a mukta. For the goy, there's no mukta. And since for the goy it's permitted, so for the yid becomes permitted too. However, if the cow belongs to yid, then it was mukta. It was never in the fields. It was never beheta. And therefore, the animal remains also. If it's a yid's...
Rabbi?
Yes?
How can you... If you don't own the animal, how can you eat it? If it's owned by the goy, it's ganeva then. You can't just take it and shecht it, surely.
Very correct. Very correct point. Yeah, Stephen asks a very good question. He says, one second here, if it's a goy's animal, how can you shecht in the first place? Surely it's not yours. This is an excellent question. The answer to the question is that we are not addressing the potential problem, we're not addressing the monetary part. So say you've got to deal with a goy, and you've got a kind of arrangement that if you see a cow that you like, you can take it, you'll pay it after Yom Tov. Or if you've got that arrangement that you can take and pay at your convenience. Of course, you're right. If there's no financial permission for you to take it, obviously, if it's stealing, you wouldn't be allowed to take it. Of course, we're talking about you've got that kind of oral agreement and verbal arrangement with the owner of the goyish owner of this animal. Of course, we've discussed previously that you can sell and buy animals on Yom Tov. You may do so, provided you don't... do you remember that? We learned it in page 212, we learned that you can sell an animal on Yom Tov as long as you don't weigh it, and you don't make exact price arrangements. You're allowed to actually sell it, provided you don't actually make, you know, it's going to be £12.15 per kilo. But if you kind of say, well, we'll sort it out after Yom Tov, that's fine, you're allowed to do that. Similarly, also, you don't have to buy an animal as long as you sort it out and you arrange the financial aspect, you arrange that after Yom Tov. Yeah, does that make sense? Stephen, have I answered your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. What about Gosher Post on Shabbos?
Yeah, that's a... Gosher what?
Gosher Post on Shabbos.
Yeah, that's really a good China. What do you tie in there?
I don't understand the difference.
So you're telling me that if it...
Yiddish opposed, but you know it's coming, it's mukhan, you know, you...
If you're expecting something, you're expecting it.
Yeah.
Okay, so one second. The next line in the Shulchan Aruch is going to help us answering your question. Because the Shulchan Aruch now continues and gives one more qualifying element, and that's the following. With regards to goy, it doesn't become mukta. Very nice. Elim kein bo, elim kein, unless bo bishvili soil. If these animals were delivered to the yid for the yid, for the benefit of the yid, you've got this goy who had this very nice cow, this very nice daisy, and he says, "Oh, I want to bring this to my Jewish neighbor. He may really want to have this one today for his festival meal," and he brings it along for the yid. Now, although it is the animal belonging to the goy, and although it is now Yom Tov in the tchum, but it was delivered from outside the tchum, here comes the Issa, shows also, then it's going to be also. Because if the goy brings it and delivers it for the yid, then it is a special Issa. Lefichach en Yehudi, therefore, a goy, shehevi behemah makoilin, if you've got a goy that brings his very nice cows, and any other cattle. Pemakoilin. What's a makoilin? It's the perish mokim shem shom shechtim abeimos, which is the abattoir, or perhaps the cattle market, where if the goy brings it there, into that abattoir, the shechita house. Now, im yodua shalonos chutz letchum, if those were animals that were anywhere were sleeping outside of the tchum, they are also, because he brought it from outside the tchum for the yid into the shechita house. It's also, not only that, furthermore, continues the Shulchan Aruch, veim safek, if you're not sure where those animals were, they were not tagged, and you're not quite sure the whereabouts of the animals on Erev Yom Tov, when Yom Tov came in. So because if they were within the tchum, they are fine. They are within your awareness. They're not muktzah. They're within the tchum, they're perfectly fine. But if, however, they were outside of the tchum, then it's going to be a problem, because the goy brought it for you, and that's going to be an issur. If the goy brings you an item from outside of the tchum for the yid, then it remains a problem. Then it is a problem. So what if you don't know? And here comes a very big chiddush. If we don't know if it was within the tchum or outside of the tchum, im sofek, then mutoris afilu bo letzorech yisrael. Then it's permitted. If it's a sofek, you can assume that it's fine. Shamukta shebamukta holchima besfeik olorkel. When it comes to mukta, then if we have got a shaila, we're not sure if it's mukta or not, we can be lenient. I can't say unfortunately, but Lemaisa, there's a Mishtabu over here that brings the Mogen Avraham. And the Mogen Avraham says that we don't paskin like that. He brings in Sivkot and Chav Gimel. I'm skipping two lines. The Shulchan Aruch is lenient. However, when it is a sofek tchum, we have to be machmir. So the Mishnah Berurah paskens aboisai. The Mishnah Berurah paskens in the name of a Magen Avraham. Not only when you know for a fact that the animal was outside of the tchum and it was brought on Yom Tov, it's going to be an Issa, but even if it's a Sofek, where it was, nevertheless, if it's brought for the Eid, it's going to be also for the Rabbonim. Therefore, Rabbi Feingold, I've been bothered for a long time, and I've been unsuccessful in actually finding out. With regards to the post, The minig is generally that we ask for the post that is delivered on Shabbos and Yom Tov. I was always a bit suspicious of that chumrah, because I felt that it is very likely that the post is actually within the tchum on Shabbos already. I don't know the logistics, which must be fascinating to study once, how the postal system works. It must be extremely fascinating. I'd be fascinated to know a bit more about this. So anybody know any idea about the postal system? Specifically with the following question. How does the distribution centers work? If I get a letter on Shabbos, when was it in the local postal office? When was it there? Why is it a letter that gets to me, a first class letter that gets sent to me, and I get it on Shabbos? When was it local? Any suggestions, Abu said? Does anybody know anything about it? Is the majority of the time, I mean, all the stages from posting the letter, from going to the local, their local distribution center, then being delivered to my local distribution center, and then from there to be distributed to my high store, how does that break down in time? So anybody any knowledge in this? It's a very important question. Because if I get what could I get on Shabbos that I want to open? What that is open and I can read? Can you give me an example?
Let's say times of shul. Let's say somebody gives shul time.
Alright, okay, so it's being delivered. Okay, good, so that's being delivered. No, I don't want something that comes from a local area. It's being delivered from Manchester. It's being delivered from out of town. Pardon? Okay, good. Let's say I've got a postcard. I got a postcard from my second cousin twice removed that was in Paris over the weekend. And he sent me he was in Manchester. And he actually sent me a picture of Manchester without rain. So he sent it down in a postcard. And now I get it on Shabbos morning. When did it reach my tchum? When did it reach London? Was it before Shabbos came in or after? He only sent it on Friday. He sent it on Friday morning. When did he get to the tchum? He makes a huge nafkamina lemaisa. It makes a huge difference. Because if the majority of the time it was actually within London, or if he got to London, you know, on Friday afternoon, then it's really okay. Then it's from within the tchum, it's fine. Pardon?
The goal is not working for you, even without that. So let's say we don't know. But the goal is never working for you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so your svara is a very good svara, but it's a very good svara, and there's truth in it. However, it's true the postman couldn't care less about my letter and your letter. He just wants to deliver it and get home and get paid. But
surely, Rabbi, surely also you could get a letter which may have money in it. You don't know until you've opened it. It could be a check. A post order, wouldn't that be muksa?
Stephen, when is the last time you got a check in the post? I mean, it's years ago.
No. Or you get a postal order, for example.
Yeah, I think nowadays people tend to pay differently. I think it's quite rare. People wouldn't generally... I know, it's true, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, people sent cash and checks and all that, even 10 years ago. I think it's getting less and less common. And I think it's quite a rare way of paying, an unsecure way of paying.
But if you know, you're going to get...
Yeah, if you know, then you're right. For sure, you must refrain then. But Rabbi Feingold points out that... That if the postman delivers, it doesn't deliver it, it doesn't do the delivery for the Yid. And therefore, you're saying that even if it was outside of the Tchum, it should be permitted. That's our Feingold Svara. Yeah, but 1 second, it's still Mukta. An item which is outside of the tchum. Rabbi Feingold, what do you tell him? Why do you say that if it doesn't do it for the yid, it's fine? We learned that any item which is not within the tchum and it ends up in your domain on Yom Tov is mukta because it's from outside of the tchum.
So the goy's cow is not mukta. If it ends up in your domain, it's fine.
If it's the goy's, yeah.
The goy's.
You want to compare it to that? I see. Okay, I really have. That's a very valid point. It's a very valid point. You want to compare the goy's animal?
No, because the letter is still technically yours.
Yeah.
It's just the postman is a means of delivering it, where the cow is not yours.
Yeah, I agree with Stephen.
The postman is just delivering.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's addressed to you.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think I agree with you. Yeah, I agree. The letter doesn't become, it doesn't, the post doesn't own the letter at any point. It's a good shaila, very good shaila. Yeah, therefore, many would forbid that. And therefore, it would be very interesting to find out with regards to the postal systems when, or actually not only the post, it could be any delivery. You could get a delivery, what they call DHL delivery or whatever it is. When you get them, the question is, when was it within London? When was it in the Tchum? Especially London, which is such a huge, enormous Tchum. It was delivered from a warehouse out of the M25. When was it in London?
But Rabbi, going back to the postal thing, if I remember from my studying days, and Yossi, as a sister, can confirm, when you post a letter in the post box, the person who's posting it is technically is the post offices at that stage.
I don't think it's theirs.
I think it is. Is it in English law, you'll see.
The minute you post it, if you discharged your obligation, the minute you posted it.
So it becomes the postal rule.
Please explain that a bit more. Do I not reserve the ownership? Do I not retain the ownership of the letter sent?
The minute you post it, it's as if it's with the other person, I'm afraid.
Really?
The postal rule. It's called the postal rule. Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay, if that's the case, then we have to think about this again, about the post being delivered on Yom Tov. In what category does that go? It's really something to think about. Okay, we're going to have to think about this. It's a good shot, a very interesting question. Okay, to summarize what we covered this evening, we learned about animals that are outside of the Tchum on Yom Tov. If they sleep in the area generally, then you can check that it's fine. If they don't sleep, then it depends. If it's the goys, then it's fine, because it doesn't become muktzah. It's fine. If it's the yids, then it would be a problem, because it's muktzah and it was not within the tchum when Yom Tov came in. If it's the goys, and really we said the goys is fine, it doesn't become muktzah. But if the goy, however, brought it for the yid, then it becomes muktzah. We therefore said any animal which is brought to the abattoir is actually muktzah because it does it for the sake of the yid. Any sfeikas, if you're not sure, where was it, you're not sure, the Magen Avraham paskens that sfeikas are also. And in doubt, if you're in doubt, you must be stringent. Okay, these are the lochas of the evening. Very interesting shaddas about the post. And yeah, so that's it for this evening, gentlemen. Okay, good evening, everybody. Good evening.